Chapter 4. The Chiroptera. Varjahan, captain of the 27th Company, born of terror, as so many of the Legion were, an older warrior, famously cautious, more of a tactician than a murderer. He'd served the 8th Legion since the earliest days of the Great Crusade, when the Night Lords first took to the stars. Sevatar liked him immensely, but had no idea why. Next was Naraka, captain of the 13th Company. Naraka the Bloodless, his brothers called him, without the shadow of a smile. He earned the name during the compliance of 809-5, as the fifth conquest of the 809th Expeditionary Fleet. The 13th Company took an entire world without shedding a single drop of blood, through means few of the Legion's other commanders had been allowed to know. When questioned on it, Naraka always refused to comment. His company swore an oath of secrecy, inviolate and unbroken in the many years since. Sevatar knew what had happened. He liked that story. After Naraka, there was Tovak Tor, captain of the 114th. Tovak Lackhand entered the Legion at the same time as Sevatar. As children, they'd run together in the same gang. He earned his epithet from a malformed birth, born with only one hand. Despite the deformity, he'd passed the physical trials to enter the 8th Legion, and immediately been fitted with an augmetic graft. It still didn't behave as reliably as a natural limb. The apothecaries had told Tovak that his malformed arm lacked a fully developed musculature, so his augmetic hand would always be a touch erratic. Then there was Ophion. As captain of the 39th Company, he'd failed to distinguish himself beyond the base level of honour inherent in a century of solid, trustworthy service. All of his records, not that the 8th Legion was particularly meticulous in keeping them, spoke of a veteran Nostraman officer best served by frontline duties, leading his men from the vanguard and given only moderate responsibility in a wider campaign. And yet, Ophion had ordered his warship, Shroud of Eventide, to remain on station, fighting the Dark Angels back from their ambush, aiding Sevatar and the Nightfall as he fought to buy time for the weaker ships to flee. So Ophion apparently wasn't a thinker. Sevatar could live with that. In a legion that considered tactical cowardice one of the finer and most amusing virtues, a rare sign of bravery was always worth investigating. Krukesh, captain of the 103rd Company, was 8th Legion from blood to bone. Taken as a youth from Terra, he rose to his captaincy by a murder duel, taking his former commander's head. Whatever would the Ultramarines or Imperial Fists have thought if such barbarous customs inside the Night Lords had become known before the betrayal? Savagery of that stripe was a natural projection of ambitious warriors freed of moral constraint. The gangland wars of Nostramo Quintus had 100 varieties of honour duels and succession rituals based on the murder of one's predecessor. The Pale, Krukesh was called by his brethren. The Primarch's gene seed whitened the skin of every soul who endured implantation and blackened the irises of their eyes. Krukesh, however, was gaunt to the point of emaciation, pale past anything resembling ill health, edging on the preternatural. He was a starved cadaver in midnight ceramite, black eyes burning from sunken eye sockets. Sevatar suspected some form of low-grade gene-seed degeneration, uncommon but not entirely unknown. Either way, Krukesh and Sevatar had history. Debts were owed from times past. Even remembering them made the first captain's skin itch. Last of all was Alastor Rushal, born of terror but not born of 8th Legion gene stock. He still wore the armour of his legion, cast in a cold black, edged in dented white trimmings. The noble emblem on his shoulder guard, a raven in white with wings spread wide, had been ritually broken by blows from a hammer wielded in Alastor's own hand. All trappings of rank were gone from his armour, scratched away after the killing fields of Istvan. Like the Night Lords, his face was pale and his eyes were dark. Unlike the warriors he stood amongst, the helm carried in the crook of his arm lacked the bat-winged crest sported by the 8th Legion's inner circle of captains. In this coven, he stood alone and unmarked. Sevatar nodded to Alastor before addressing the group as one.
You will help me lead this broken legion. You are now the Chiroptera of the Night Lords. Any questions?
Several of the others exchanged glances. In the corner, Trez's rebreather hid his smile. Tovac was the one to actually speak.
That's your greeting. That's how you welcome us.
Yes.
Sevatar didn't blink.
Did you expect a speech?
I don't know what I expected.
Then why do you sound disappointed?
Sevatar tilted his head.
Any real questions?
I have one, said Ophion.
His face was a mess of recent stitches and skin grafts.
Why us?
Because the rest of the Chiroptera are dead, with Var Jahan and myself as the only survivors.
Obviously, and how did they die?
Ophion asked.
The Dark Angels killed some of them. I killed the rest. Or rather, the Atramentar killed them, because I asked them to.
Ophion snorted, not even remotely surprised.
But why us?
Sevatar watched the other captain in silence for several moments.
You are a very suspicious man, Ophion.
That I am.
Sevatar saw no harm in the truth.
You are all variously loyal to me. Intelligent, reliable, trustworthy, and divorced from the weakness of human compassion. The Legion needs leadership. It needs us.
Then I'll be the one to say it.
Krukesh gestured a gauntleted hand at Alastor, his skullish face locked in a sneer.
Why is the Raven here? He leads no company. He commands no men. He cannot be one of the Chiroptera.
He can because I say he can. Unless the Primarch rises and countermands my order, the Raven stands with us. Now, to business.
Sevatar called up the hololithic display again.
And what you're looking at, brothers, is over a third of the Legion's fleet. We've had contacts with the other mustering points at Ikresh, Tara, and Sotha, and the casualty figures are on the wrong side of hilarious.
Don't keep us in suspense,
Var Jahan grunted.
The Dark Angels destroyed just over 25% of the fleet in their ambush. They killed a quarter of the Legion in 3 hours.
The new Chiroptera exchanged glances. None of them wished to say anything, leaving Sevatar to continue.
It's only been 2 weeks. There may be several dozen vessels still in the warp or caught away from the fallback points. But the confirmed casualties alone are grievous. Every shipmaster saw other vessels die. Collating that list shows a fifth of the Legion dead in the void or on the surface of Sheol. So,
Sevatar turned back to his brothers.
The question now is, what do we do?
Revenge, said Var Jahan. Vengeance against the Angels.
Don't make me kill you as well. Revenge against the First Legion would be a fool's crusade. I am striving to make this as democratic as possible, but don't try my patience.
Krukesh tapped his knuckles on the hololithic table.
What of the Primarch?
Still in a coma, replied Var Jahan, aboard the Excoriator.
What is the meaning of...
Naraka gave the vaguest of waves at the bodies hanging all around.
Of all this?
This, said Sevatar, is the result of our Primarch's little telepath no longer doing his job. Isn't that right, Trez?
The old man blinked, sucking in a gulp of oxygen through his face mask as the 7 warriors slowly turned to face him. His stammered attempt at a response went nowhere. It barely even left his lips.
The Sin Eater is failing us? Asked Naraka.
So it would seem, replied Sevatar.
My lords,
Trez swallowed.
We're my lords now, Sevatar chuckled. I was just Jago earlier.
My lords, please. Before the ambush, Lord Curzi's dreams were becoming too poisoned, too dark. I struggled to purge them of the pain.
Krukesh stalked closer to the wizened archivist. His cadaverous visage stared down at the man.
Are you failing in your duties, little psyker?
Trez's throat bobbed as he swallowed again.
Please, I'm doing all I can. I'll double my efforts when he returns to us. I swear on my very soul.
Naraka joined Krukesh, looking down at the hunched scholar. You gave the Legion your word before, telepath, and now you fail us.
Sevatar!
Trez managed to whisper between panted breaths. I did warn you to be somewhere else, Sevatar pointed out. He let his words hang in the air, the implied threat adding blades to the leering black eyes staring down at the archivist.
Leave him be, Sevatar said at last. We need him.
The two captains backed away, one chuckling, the other silent.
The Primarch's degeneration is a grave threat to us, said Varja Han from across the chamber. Mounting heads on spikes to warn slaves about the price of disobedience is one thing. Dwelling among the bodies of dead legionaries and legion serfs is quite another.
Sevatar gently shoved one of the nearby corpses, sending it swaying on its rattling chains.
Degeneration is a harsh word. I regret using it myself in the past. Our lord is a haunted man, that's true, but he remains unbroken. This war, this exile into the deepest black, is what's poisoning him. He feels useless.
Conjecture, said Naraka.
You're guessing,
Krukesh said in the same moment.
Am I now?
Krukesh hissed in a breath through his blood-stained teeth.
Just tell us your scheme, Sevatar. We're not fools. You're planning something.
Not a plan, an intent. I'm going to divide the remnants of the Legion. I'll scatter the Night Lords across the galaxy to fight the war as they wish. Each of you will take whatever forces you can gather, forming one of six great companies. And then do whatever you want. I don't care. As long as you bleed the Imperium, carve out your own slice of mankind's empire, come with me on the long crusade to Terra.
Sevatar shrugged.
The choice will be yours. Varja Han, if you are still so ruthlessly committed to fighting the Dark Angels, you can remain with your companies and slow them down as you desire.
Varja Han didn't comment. Sevatar could see the thoughts curling in the depths of his black eyes.
Six great companies, Tovak said. The Raven will be one of the Chiroptera, but he's given no men to the command. Why include him at all?
Alastor said nothing. He merely forced a tight smile. Sevatar nodded to the question.
He is one of us, whether he was born of Nostramo or not, and no matter what blood beats through his veins. To be Eighth Legion is more than flesh and bone. He earned his place among the elite at Istvan. Do you dispute it?
Not I,
Tovak inclined his head towards Alastor.
All here know I hold no grudge against the Raven.
We need time to think on this, First Captain, said Varja Han. You have 3 nights before I begin coordinating the vessels of the force I'm taking to Terra.
Will you kill us if we disagree with this division?
Asked Ophion. Sevatar gave his flesh-hooked grin again.
And they told me you weren't a thinker, Captain Ophion.
Sevatar boarded the Excoriator with Varja Han at his side, and Ekra Trez trailing along at their heels. In other legions, the arrival of the first captain and the vessel's own commander might have prompted at least a little ceremony. In the Eighth Legion, the menials and serfs working in the hangar bay lowered their heads in respectful silence and did their best to carry on their duties unnoticed. As the captains walked through the dark corridors of Varja Han's warship, Sevatar spoke softly.
There's something I've just realised I don't know.
Vajrahan glanced to his left, immediately on edge from the introspective tone in his brother's voice.
Yes?
How did the Terrans in the Legion feel when we all watched Nostramo burn? It wasn't their homeworld, after all.
Vajrahan mused over the question, unsure how to answer.
Half the Legion is Terran, Sevatar. You've never spoken to any of them about this, even once?
The first captain didn't reply. He sometimes had great difficulty recalling that other people had different perspectives to him. Of course he knew that they led different lives and were shaped by different experiences, but he struggled to imagine their frames of reference. He couldn't, in essence, see things from their point of view. Part of the problem was that he was so rarely wrong. It made it hard to take other people's opinions and observations seriously. He'd always been this way, even as a child. His mother had told him he'd grow out of it, that he'd become better with people. He didn't. He hadn't. It was the same in battle. He didn't know why he was different there, either. He didn't know why he ran faster, killed quicker, and tired slower than they did. He'd duelled Sigismund of the Imperial Fists once, the only warrior ever to beat him to a deadlock in over 100 years of warfare. The duel had lasted almost 30 long, long hours of sweat, swearing, and the crash-clash of iron against iron. He cheated in the end. He finished the duel, as hundreds of warriors from both legions looked on, by headbutting the Templar and disqualifying himself. It broke the rules, as well as Sigismund's winning streak. True to his nature, Sigismund had done nothing but laugh. The proud stoicism the first captain of the Fists was so famous for didn't bleach all humanity from his humour. Sevatar had always envied him that, for he found it very difficult to laugh, to joke, to bond effortlessly with brothers in arms.
"Forget I spoke," he said to Vajrahan.
"Good luck in the council with your captains, brother. I will deal with the Primarch's transfer."
The two captains parted ways. Trez shuffled after Sevatar, saying nothing.
"I know your secret, Jago."
The memory of the old man's words was curiously cold. Sevatar entered the Apothecarian, offering a saluted greeting to the three apothecaries lingering near the resting Primarch. They returned his salute as he approached the surgical slab.
"Any change, Valzin?"
he asked the chief apothecary.
"None. He sleeps."
"Any sign of dreaming?"
There's still no evidence of it on any cerebral Auspex sweep."
Valzin's face was partially orchmetic, a silver and steel simulacrum of the features he lost to an Iron Hands warrior's chain fist on Istvan. The ceramic black eye didn't blink, the mouth didn't move. Sevatar was an indifferent student of history, but he thought the shining visage harked back to the death masks of primitive cultures on ancient Terra.
"Be ready to transfer the Primarch to the Apothecarian aboard the Nightfall. We leave in 3 nights." "Of course, Captain."
Valzin hesitated, though his emotionless chrome face showed no hint of why.
"Why is the Sin Eater here? I've told you in every report, sir, the Primarch isn't dreaming. Trez's presence isn't required."
"I know.
Do not concern yourself with it." "As you wish."
Sevatar looked around the busy apothecarian, at the servitors, the serfs in scrubs and surgical coats, and the Legion apothecaries remaining by the Primarch's side. He knew all three of the warrior surgeons. Valzin was his own apothecary, an officer in the Atramentar. The other two were from the 3rd and 10th companies, respectively.
"Leave me,"
Sevatar told them all.
"Even you, Valzin. Clear the apothecarium. I want every soul gone." "Captain, I have an idea that may bring him back."
"Sev, I have to stay. You can't expect me to leave. I expect you to do as I order."
In a rare moment of insight, Sevatar softened the demand with a hand on Valzin's shoulder guard.
And I expect you to trust me, brother?
Trez breathed slowly once they were alone. His rasping respiration was a sickly wet rhythm behind the growl of Sevatar's armor and the digital sounds of medical equipment.
So, this is why you brought me,
the archivist said. His voice echoed hollowly around the empty room. Sevatar stood by the slumbering Primarch. In repose, Kurz looked less wretched, less weakened by the strains of commanding a guerrilla void campaign out here in the deepest black for more than 2 years, across hundreds of star systems. Kurz wasn't born for this. He was a justiciar, a judge, a man born to look traitors and thieves in the eye as he delivered their sentence. And now, what had he become? A general? An admiral? A war leader buried beneath logistics and tactical displays, cast out to languish with his sons at the far end of the galaxy. Worse, he was a traitor now himself. Sevatar had seen his Primarch's desperation, the degeneration, the yearning for purpose in the star-scattered isolation of the deep void. He'd seen it taking place since they'd first set sail for the Thramos sector, and now he wanted answers. Guesses and patience were no longer enough. Sevatar's gloved hand remained above the Primarch's pale forehead, fingers half-curled, unwilling to touch his father's face.
This will probably kill you, Jago.
He nodded to Trez's words.
I know.
The archivist sucked in a wet breath.
You have the strength for this, but not the control. I know. Sevatar said again. But I have to try. I don't want him to die.
He looked down at his crimson gauntlet, painted as evidence of his sins.
I failed him once already. I won't let it happen twice.
Trez sighed, dew droplets of condensed breath sparkling on the inside of his rebreather.
There's no going back from this. If you unlock the gift you fought so hard to forget, some doors cannot be closed.
Sevatar was barely listening now.
I already struggle to restrain it, he said,
his voice barely carrying over the humming of the sealing air vents.
Will you help me? I can't do this alone.
The old man limped over on a creaking spine and shin-splinted legs. He reached out with a hand blighted by liver spots and the trembles of flaring arthritis and closed his knuckly fingers around the back of Sevatar's red gauntlet. The first captain lowered his hand, resting his fingertips on his father's forehead.
You said he wasn't dreaming, Trez.
Sevatar spoke aloud, dead-voiced and staring at nothing.
You were wrong.